Hello and welcome back to Reality Check. I mentioned this on Facebook last week, so I'll mention it at the top here as well. If you're new to these podcasts or just interested in knowing what reality guidance is all about, there are really three episodes that I consider sort of crucial listening to get you started. Those are episode 7, which is all about emotions and decision making, episode 11, which talks about the importance of control, and depending on the context, letting go of your desire for control. And episode 13, which explains why judging is critical to a healthy life. Those three topics, properly understood, will go a long way towards getting most people on a pretty good path. Now, that's not to say that by the end of each episode I've fully covered the topic. Far from it. Those are just the broad overviews that barely scratch the surface. But this podcast is all about offering you a glimpse of two things. What sessions with me are sort of like, though obviously in one-on-one sessions there'd be much more back and forth. I'm usually the one asking questions rather than making speeches. The other reason I record these episodes is to get people thinking in the right direction. Even if you never book a session with me, I'm hoping that people can at least draw some inspiration out of them. Check out episodes 7, 11, and 13. I'm proud of all three of those. And they seem to be the standouts so far. This week I wanted to ruminate a little on something that's a little bit more philosophical, and that is the idea of misanthropy. And just to define that, misanthropy is the general dislike or even all-out loathing of humanity. Sometimes it manifests in a more psychological way, where a person will approach every new acquaintance and every new interaction as being negative by default. Other times it manifests in a more philosophical way, where a person will regard humans in general as being a negative. You often hear this in relation to environmentalism, as in humans only end up destroying the planet for their own selfish desires. Or along a related note, some will talk about how human beings, don't love each other enough, they don't help each other out enough, etc. The main theme of all this is that human beings are somehow evil or destructive at their very core. One famous line from the movie The Matrix, spoken by Agent Smith, is that all humans are a virus. In fact, if you study philosophy, one of the key points of argument is this very idea. Are human beings ultimately good or evil, quote-unquote, in a state of nature, meaning without external things making them act in certain ways, such as government laws? Now, as interesting as that debate can be, it's also kind of pointless. Why? Well, it comes down to utility. Taking aside the arguments of both, which may be valid, the real question is, what does either answer get us? Or put another way, which answer is the better one to assume is correct? If humans are evil, or essentially corrupt, or deserving of loathing, and we are all human beings, how does that help us? It's impossible to want to be a better person if we are all ultimately doomed to default to evil or destructive behaviors anyway. But on the flip side, if at our core all human beings are good, or at the very least, fully capable of good, then all it means is when we commit wrong or irrational acts is that we're not living up to our potential. So you see, misanthropy is a way of thinking that's ultimately self-defeating. You may argue that everyone else is awful, and somehow you're the exception, but that's not exactly it. Psychologically, good people love finding other good people. They're drawn to each other like magnets. Yes, sometimes that means wading through a sea of riffraff, but that doesn't damn the whole species. It just tells you that too many people aren't living up to their potential. It's regrettable, but not, a blanket damnation. The reason I bring all this up, aside from my own, pet interest in philosophy, is that there is an important psychological tidbit inherent in every misanthropic person. Because we are all human beings, how we view humanity is a reflection of how we view ourselves. Thus, the extent to which you hate other people, as a collective, is the extent to which you actually hate yourself. Now, I know that's a pretty bold statement, but I'll explain how it works out. It is possible to strongly dislike other people, even hate them on an individual level, though hate is an extremely unhealthy way of going about things. You can have experiences with woman X or man Y that inform your opinion of them. In fact, my previous episode about judging people is all about that. But that's not misanthropy. What I'm talking about is viewing all humans as a giant collective, this amorphous blob of an entity that has no shape or form. It's just an abstraction hanging in space with nothing concrete attached to it. So to take this nebulous concept of humanity and to say, I despise this thing called humanity because it's evil, destructive, selfish, you know, whatever negative words you want to throw at it. The problem with this is that you aren't defining anything specific. It's sort of like racism, where someone says, you know, all black people are XYZ and I dislike that. What you're saying here is, all humans are XYZ and I dislike that. Now, because it's non-specific and not related to any particular person, and because you belong to this group called humans, you are the only truly specific thing you are referencing. When you say that humans are selfish, you really mean you are selfish, and you are blaming your quote-unquote human nature for making you that way. It's a dodge. It's a way of admitting that you're acting in a way you don't like, but instead of taking responsibility for that, you're blaming your primal nature or whatever. And this is borne out in practice. If you ever hear someone talk about how the world would be better off if humans weren't around, or how all humans will kill their own mothers for a nickel, all you have to do is, in your own mind, replace the words all humans with the word I, and you have a good idea what that person is truly saying. One thing I'm amazed by, in my experience anyway, is how readily misanthropes will completely admit to having low self-esteem and self-loathing. They usually don't understand the connection between misanthropy and lack of self-esteem, but it seems as though the people who really contemplate these issues are also pretty honest about their own psyches. The problem is that they believe in what's called a malevolent universe. That is, the idea that the world is out to get them, that the deck is forever stacked against them, that there's an almost supernatural force out there making sure that for every good thing that happens to them, two bad things must also happen. It's a fairly narcissistic notion, as the world really doesn't care in the slightest about our comings and goings. It just exists, contained within the laws of physics. These people look at other successful people and assume they must have robbed, cheated, stolen their way to the top, because being a good person can't possibly get you anywhere in life. Of course, that isn't true, and if they were to analyze their own decision-making process, there's no doubt that there would be huge areas of irrationality and impulsivity that have led to the negative outcomes that they lament. But as I think everyone sort of understands, we all tend to want to deflect blame onto the external world rather than onto ourselves. I mean, you know the old, you know, I got passed over for a promotion because I'm a woman, rather than the real reason, which might be, you got passed over for a promotion because you refused to work overtime and other people didn't. I was a nice guy to her, I did everything she asked for me, and she goes and dates this, you know, dude bro instead. Not understanding that women are attracted to confidence and independence, and you came off looking more like a manservant than a man. It's these small, blame-deflecting tendencies that get people into trouble and make them view the world as their enemy and other people as greedy or destructive. So this one went all philosophical again, like I said it would. Philosophy and psychology are really cyclical, symbiotic, a duality of sorts. One is constantly informing the other, and vice versa. My interest, personally, is always in trying to pull the psychology out and focus on it, finding the motivations behind the worldviews. I believe that's the only way to see through all the labels of, you know, Democrat, Republican, Christian, Muslim, and really get to the heart of what drives people. Anyway, that's about it for this week. I'll talk to you all again next week. Have a good weekend.